discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God has not changed. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified.
To Jesus Christ for your salvation. Are you grateful to God for your salvation? That's why we are singing that song. Till we meet, it's only you. Give Jesus a big shout. Hallelujah. What a blessing. We are home. Hallelujah. To be a buffet of God's word. Can you kindly lift up your right hand towards heaven? Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. To you alone be all glory and all praise and all honor. Thank you for who you are to us. And thank you for what you have done for us. Dear Lord, open our eyes. We pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This afternoon, unveil your word to us in a very special way. Grant us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, Lord. Let the eyes of understanding be flooded with light in the name of our Lord Jesus. Open up your word to us, Lord. We receive your word with meekness, with gladness, with joy. Yes. Thank you for your blessings. Even in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may kindly take your seats in heavenly places. Hallelujah. I'm sharing on grace and faith. Grace and faith. The surest way of living in Christ. Grace and faith. The surest way of living in Christ. Grace and faith. The surest way of living in Christ. The surest way of living in Christ. The surest way of living in Christ. Grace and faith. And I want us to start from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. You know, Archbishop just mentioned that salvation is the most important, is the greatest. How true? It's the greatest of all. Because in salvation, the Lord gives us everything we require for our lives. The problem is that we have not looked into our salvation well enough. We've not searched into it. We don't know what it is. We don't understand it. And that is why we are leaving it to get into all kinds of things. Do you see? But this verse of the Bible, so God has put this meeting together to just help us understand what has really happened to us. To help us understand salvation. That's why it's called Believer's Conversion. It's for believers. It's not for unbelievers. It's for believers.
Yeah.
And it's also for unbelievers, because when an unbeliever shows up in our midst, you will get to understand what Jesus has done to the point that you would want to give your life to him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Can you read this together with me? One to go. As you have therefore, so walk ye in him. Have you seen it? Can you read it once again? One to go. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So he's showing us how to walk in this salvation that we have received. He says, as you have received. The word as is in like manner. That's what it means. The Greek means in like manner, or in accordance to, in the same way you had the salvation coming, the same way you received Christ, is the same way you should walk in him. Same manner, same way, same. That is how we should live. We should not live any other way. A Christian must not live any other way apart from the way that we got born again.
Okay.
Now the question is, how did we get born again? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. So how do you get born again? You got born again through
faith.
Through what?
Faith.
Through faith. By grace, through faith. You got born again by grace, through faith. The grace of God made salvation available, and your faith took that salvation. Your faith received salvation. Even your faith that received salvation was given to you by God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let us know that it is Jesus' faith that gets us born again. Look at Galatians 3, verse 16. No, 2:16. Sorry, 2:16. Galatians 2:16. Can you read this to me? Let's read a lighter version so we can understand. Everybody can understand what we are reading. Okay, NLT. Can you read it to me? One to go. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. Have you seen it? We know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. This one says by faith in Jesus Christ, but the King James says that it is actually the faith of Jesus that makes us receive righteousness. It's knowing that a man is not justified or made righteous by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not your faith, but the faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus' faith is what leads you to salvation. So the faith you actually exercise in getting born again is actually the faith of Jesus Christ. So Jesus gives you his faith so that you can believe, because you don't have enough wisdom to even believe. We didn't have enough wisdom to believe. God, Jesus gives us his faith in order for us to believe. So the same thing is mentioned, even when you continue, you see, it says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Have you seen it? We have believed so that we might be justified by the faith, or made righteous by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not of the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Look at verse 20. You see there's a similar thing in verse 20, Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So the Christian life, the faith that we have as Christians, is actually the faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us his faith. And it is that faith that you use to believe in him. So everything is actually from him. By grace are we saved through faith. Isn't it? By grace, Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved. By grace are you saved. Through faith. Grace is God at work. And I'm now showing you that even the faith that we had to receive him at salvation was actually from him. So where are you in the equation? Ask your neighbor, where are you in the equation? So Paul is telling us that, listen, the way you got born again is actually the same way that you continue in the new life. When you get born again, the way to continue, the way to live in Christ is to live by grace through faith. To live by what? Grace through faith. To live by grace through faith. Now, what happened for salvation to come? If you read in John chapter 3, verse 16, the greatest scripture in the whole world. If you want to know the greatest scripture in the whole world, I'm just coming to quote this for you right now. John 3:16 is the greatest scripture in the whole world. You should have it printed in your house. You should have it printed on your car. You should have it printed everywhere. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten. That is grace. Grace is God giving and God doing everything. He gave his own. He loved. He had wisdom to love. We didn't have any wisdom to love God. You couldn't even love God. We didn't even know that we needed God in our lives. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you don't understand what I'm saying? Should I go home already? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what happened at salvation. When we got born again, we believed in the fact that God has expressed his love to us through his son. And we believe that his son, Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. We believe that Jesus laid down his life for us. That's what we believe. And because we believed it, we became born again. Our entrance to heaven was secured by virtue of Jesus, by believing, just believing in him. In John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says that Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. God gave his son, and as many as received the son, the word received is the same. It connotes the idea of believing. But as many as received him, in other words, as many as believed in him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Have you seen it? So it's like he's exchanging believing for receiving. Receiving is actually believing. We receive by believing. We believe in the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe in the fact that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. We believe that Jesus went to hell for us. We believe that Jesus rose from the dead for us. We believe that when Jesus died, he died for our sins. And we believe that when he rose from the dead, he rose from the dead for our justification, of our righteousness. And that's what makes us born again. That's what makes us children of God. That's what makes us bona fide sons and daughters of God. There's nothing that you did apart from receiving what God had already planned and what God had already prepared in his
his son. What the son did is what you received. And that's how you got born again. What did you do? Ask your neighbor, what did you do? Even what you did was actually the exercise of God's grace upon your soul. God helped you to believe. God gave you the faith of his son so that you can believe in what his son has done on the cross of Calvary for you. For when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. There was no strength. You couldn't have died for yourself. For when we were, this is Romans chapter 5, it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? So that's how we came in. How did we come in? We came in by virtue of Jesus's work, believing in Jesus's work for us, believing in God's work for us. Paul says that continue in the Christian life the same way. The problem of Christianity today, do you know the problem that we have? The problem we all have as the church is that we tell someone to get born again and we tell the person to believe in what Jesus has done. We preach Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, verse 8 and verse 9 to the person. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. This is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Have you seen it? This is what we preach to them. And then they get born again. As soon as they get born again, we introduce them to works. We introduce them to law. We introduce them to pleasing God by their actions. If you had enough wisdom to please God, then God shouldn't have sent Jesus Christ to come and die for you. I'm going home. I don't think you like what I'm saying.
No. You're interested.
I nearly went home.
Oh.
This is the problem we have. The problem we have is that we get someone born again by virtue of grace, by virtue of him not doing anything but just believing in what God has accomplished in Christ Jesus. Then when he gets born again, we almost immediately, if you don't pray twice a day, God will not be happy with you. If you don't fast 3 times a week, God will not be happy with you. You need to keep God's commandments in order to be pleasing to God. You need to do this and you need to do that. You need to do this and you need to do... Am I lying? All of us are... We are all in the same boat. We have done it many times.
Very hard.
Very hard. Your blessing is not coming because of something that you are doing. It is wild. But Paul tells us the same way you have been born again. The same way you have been born again. The same manner. The same manner. The same way, the same manner that you have been born again. The way you received Christ. How did you receive Christ? By grace, through faith. How do you continue in Christ? By grace, through faith. You see, the problem with the law is that when we introduce people to the law, sin can only dominate when law is there. You see, maybe you can write this in your notes. Okay. You can write problem of the law. We shouldn't introduce people to the law. To works. There's a place where you serve, where we are servants of God, which is different from the place where we are children of God. It's different. I'm talking about as children of God. What a child of God. What a believer. How a believer should live, should walk in his or her life in Christ. That's what I'm talking about. You see, the law brings... So number one, the problem... You can write the problem of the law. Number one, the law brings the consciousness of sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Look at it. Romans 3:20.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is what brings the knowledge of sin. So when we get someone born again by grace through faith, and then we introduce the person to the law or to works, we are destroying what we are building.
Yeah.
We are destroying the person's life. Because by telling the person, if you do this, then you are pleasing to God. If you don't do this, then you are not pleasing to God. But salvation says that we are pleasing to God. God himself has acted on his own behalf. Like I said, we didn't have enough wisdom. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Next verse. Then it says, according as he has chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So God has already chosen us and brought us before him as holy and blameless before him in love. Before him, not before your spouse. Because your spouse may see your faults.
Yeah.
Not before your friends. Your friends may see your faults. But before the Lord, God says that you are holy.
Yeah.
And without blame,
yeah,
before him in love. And God is wiser than everybody. If God says that you are accepted, I don't know why you are having a problem. Are you sure I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So according to the knowledge of God's word, God is the one who qualifies you and brings you close and says that you are qualified to be in front, be before him, not because of some things that you did. We couldn't have done anything to come in. We couldn't. The law gives you the knowledge of sin. That's a problem. If we put people under the law, sin will dominate them. Romans chapter 6. So sin dominates when the law is preached. That's the next point. If you want to do point. Verse 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Meaning that when you are under the, when you put people under the law, what happens to them? Sin will dominate them. And that's what they said. People are suffering.
Struggling.
People are struggling. Christians are suffering and struggling and having, because, Charlie, you always don't feel qualified. You always feel like God doesn't, it's like God is not really pleased with you. You never feel like you measure up to God and God's standards. Or you never feel like you are measuring up to God. You always feel like there's the problem. There's something wrong. When God who saved you says that there's nothing wrong, you are busy saying that there's something wrong. Because you have been told that there's something wrong. Because you have been told that if you don't do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if you don't do your quiet time, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, if you don't do that, if you don't do that, you will never, and you are struggling to do your quiet time. So when you miss one, you feel like God has not accepted you. When you miss another, you feel like God has not accepted you. And then you keep pushing back and pushing back and pushing back until sin now takes a hold of you and destroys your life.
You are preaching
as well. You are not paying your tithe. When you don't pay your tithe, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Listen. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you are not under the law. When you are under the law, sin shall have dominion over you. The law is what strengthens sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 15, 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is what?
The
law will strengthen sin. The law of works. Law means works, basically. Trying to please God with works. Trying to qualify before God with works. You'll be in trouble. It's not going to work. The sting of death is what? Is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. So the law strengthens sin. The more you try to do, have some do's and don'ts to be accepted before God, the more sin you will enjoy. You'll be surprised. You'll be swimming in sin all the days of your life. Yeah. James chapter 2 verse 10. The law brings guilt. If you try to live by the law, you'll be surprised. If you try to please God by your works, is God listening to my prayer? Because I've not done ABCD, I don't think God is hearing my prayer.
I don't think God, I don't feel like my prayer is going. You see, you feel that you think that you are qualified before God. Your prayers are answered by God by virtue of what you do or what you do not do. You are repudiating what Christ did. You want to do what Jesus did so that you can qualify. It's not going to work. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You offend in one point, you are guilty of all. And mind you, there were 613 laws. In case you don't know. So how are you going to do it? It's not going to work. That's the problem. That's the problem. That's a problem we have. That's a problem that is on our hands. That's why God sent me to come and talk to you today. To show you how it should be done. You see, there are two ways of walking before God or walking with God. It's either you walk with God in fear or you walk with God in love. We can give our tithe, but it must be done because of our love for the Lord. We have to be in church, but we have to be in church because of our love for God, not because we are trying to tick a box. We have to serve God, but it's not because we are not serving God because it's a box we need to take. We need to clean the church and make sure everything is okay in order for us to be accepted before God, in order for our prayers to be answered. If you are ticking a box, brother, you are going to struggle. You can't work. All that is fear. The church seems to have mastered fear. We seem to have mastered fear. We seem to have mastered fear, making the people work and do things out of fear, not out of their love for the Lord. Paul said the love of Christ constrains us. The love that Christ has had in our case, not our love for him, but the love that he has had for us. The more you think about how much he has sacrificed for you, how much, what he did, the more you look at the cross, the more you will do for him. Yes. Yes. The one who is forgiven much will love much. So it's either we continue with him in love or we continue with him in fear. And guess what? Fear causes torment. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 3, sorry. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as it is, so are we in this world." Verse 18. Then it says, "There is no fear in love." So it's either we are going by love or we are going by fear. A lot of Christians are afraid. If they miss something, I did something wrong, so I don't think God likes me anymore. I didn't fast when they said we should fast, so I don't think God is hearing me. If your love for God was intact, nobody would tell you to fast. Fasting is because of our love for him. Yeah, we want to spend more time with him. We are coming to church to have understanding concerning what he has done for us. Not because it's a box we are trying to take. Why are you not in church? Why didn't you go? If you don't go to church, God will not bless you. No. We are blessed by virtue of what his son did on the cross. Not by virtue of what we do by taking various boxes. I honestly feel like going home because I don't know if you are... I'm shocking you. Wow. Jesus said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." You will do shepherdial work if you love him. And guess what? Our love for him is dependent on our understanding of his love for us. 1 John chapter 4. Look at 1 John 4 verse 10. Look at this. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. We didn't love God. He is the one who loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Drop down to verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. So the more we contemplate on his love for us, what is the love of God for us? God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. The more we look at the only begotten son and his sacrifice, his great sacrifice for us, the more we love him. Our love for him is dependent on our knowledge of his love for us. And that is the way to serve God. That is the way to walk in God. We must understand how much he has loved us. If we don't understand how much he has loved us, we'll be taking boxes all the time. Taking boxes. Walking by the law. And the law is wicked, I tell you. It was not meant for any man to keep. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law has a weakness. The weakness of the law is that when it touches flesh, it cannot help man. It cannot help flesh. It only condemns. When the law is given to a man, it can only condemn him. It ministers condemnation. That's what the law does. That's in 2 Corinthians. I don't know if I'm quoting too many scriptures. It ministers condemnation. It ministers death. It ministers condemnation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Look at 2 Corinthians 3, 6. Who has also made us ministers of the New Testament, not to the letter of the, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, that's the law. He's talking about the law. He says, the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. Next verse. Then he says, but if the ministration of death, the law is the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones. That's the Ten Commandments. It kills. When it gets in touch with a man, it will kill him. It is full of life, but it cannot help any man. It's full of life, but it can't give life. It only gives death. So the moment we put you under do's and don'ts, death is coming for you. Problems are coming. You feel empty. You are serving God, but you are empty. You are doing a lot for God, but you are empty because you are trying to tick a box. Yes. You are taking boxes and it's not going to work. You see that there's no life. But just imagine someone who is just falling in love with the Lord. Oh, he's just falling in love with the Lord. Looking at the glorious Son, Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross and what it means for him. What the sacrifice of Jesus means for him. Greater love has no man than this, than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. When we are not correct, he died for us. If he died for you when you are not correct, what can't you do for him? What can't you do for him? So that's the problem. That's where the problem is. That's where the problem is. So we need to understand what grace is. We need to understand what God has done. What is grace? Grace is God's work in Christ Jesus for you and I who do not merit it. That's grace. Let me give you a proper definition of grace. Can I give it to you? I just said it, but you need to write it. You see, remember, Paul says the way we receive Christ is a thing we should continue in him. How did we receive him? We received him by grace through faith. So I want to show you what grace is. I want to show you what grace is. So that you can know how to live. So that your life can be simpler. So that you can serve God well. I believe all of us want to serve God. But we need to serve God well. You shouldn't be singing in the choir because you feel that when, as you sing in the choir, God will bless you. No, that's not. God has blessed you. You are singing in the choir because of how much you love him. You are singing in the choir because of you as a response of your love, of his love, your response to his love. You are ushering because of your as a response of your love for him. That's all. We are preaching all around the world as a response of our appreciation of his love for us. Hallelujah. Hosea 6:6. Message. Let's read it. Hosea 6:6. Message. Pastor says Hosea 6:6. Do you like what I'm sharing with you? So it's either you do fear or you do love. I don't know which one you want. You prefer love. Yeah. Fear causes torment. Fear will always let you have some guilt or condemnation at one point in time or the other. When you miss the juice, when you miss the smallest, you see the things that the devil will accuse you, even when you are doing the right thing. You read one chapter, he'll say, why didn't you read 5 chapters? This person read 5 chapters. You see, because you are taking a box, the devil will always be on your case. But when there's no box to take, when it's as a result of your love for the Lord, your response to his love to you, you can do 5 chapters, you can do 10 chapters, you can do half chapter, and it will not make any difference. It doesn't do anything. Hosea 6 says, I'm after love that lasts. This is God talking, right?
Yeah.
Not more religion. I want you to know God, not go to more prayer meetings. I don't think you saw it. Read it. Let's read it together. Let's read it together. You took the scripture off too quickly. One, two, go. Are you serious? seen what God is after? Yeah. I am after love that lasts. Love that lasts. Not religion. Not more religion. More do's and don'ts. Hey, we fire God's children power from the pulpit. Instead of pulling them out of the pit through the pulpit, we push them into the pit through the pulpit. Hey! Yeah. But it's not our fault. We don't know. It's not our fault. We don't know. We don't know. Romans chapter 7 is Paul's encounter with works. You can read Romans chapter 7 when you go home. Paul's encounter with works. Because he was also introduced to works when he came in. Unbelievable. He struggled. Struggled to the point he said that, oh wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this wretchedness? From this body of sin. It was not easy for him at all. So we should not give people law, we should give people grace. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 says that, for if by the disobedience of one man, many death reign, how much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, they shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The way God's children can reign in life is by us giving them more grace. We must preach grace. More grace. Every time, more grace on them so that they can reign. We must help them be established in the righteousness of God. You must become established in the knowledge of your righteousness. Then we can grow. So what is grace? Do you want to know what grace is all about? This is how you got saved. You got saved by grace. So what is grace? Grace is Jesus and his work. Grace is what?
Jesus
is the expression of God's grace. Grace is what? Jesus and his work. Jesus and his work. That's it. That's grace. That's why in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says that, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Then he says, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the expression of God's grace, and he's the expression of reality, of God's reality. You see, the reality, there are many realities around. A drunkard feels that drinking is his reality. Someone who's into lottery, whatever, that's his reality. He feels that that's the only way he can make it in life. Yeah, they see life differently. But Jesus is the actual way to see life. Jesus is God's reality. Yeah, when you are in Christ, you can see well. Outside of Christ, you can't see well. You will miss it in life. And at the end of the day, you realize that you are suffering. You miss it in life. At the end of the day, you die and realize that you are in hell. Jesus is the reality of God. You see, he's full of grace and truth. Look at verse 16. Then it says, of Jesus' fullness have we all received grace and grace for grace. The word for is anti. It means in place of. It also means against, and it means in place of. So he says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Grace upon grace. Grace anti grace. Grace in place of grace. Grace, Jesus is the expression of God's grace that comes to us as waves of the sea. It's when you go to the seashore, you see a wave coming. Then another, when this one is going, another one comes. It keeps going and coming, keeps going and coming. That's what he's talking about. It says grace that comes from Jesus Christ is wave after wave after wave after wave after wave after wave after wave. That's Jesus. Jesus is the expression of God's grace. So as Jesus was walking around, you see, all the people Jesus healed did not deserve it. There's not a single person who deserved the healing. There was no Christian at that time. They didn't deserve to be healed. But he healed them because that is his nature. It is his nature to do what is good for human beings. What you don't merit is what he gives to you. What you don't deserve is what he does for you. What you don't deserve is what he does for you. Jesus Christ is the expression of God's grace. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. How many of you understand what I'm saying? So grace is Jesus. Jesus is the expression of God's grace. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good? That's the grace of God. The grace of God does good to men. The grace of God does what? Good to men. Yes. To undeserving, unmeriting, unqualified, wicked, confused people. That's the grace of God. God specializes. You see, grace is what makes God specialize in making the ungodly righteous. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Without any effort from the person. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 5, sorry. Go to verse 5. It says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. What it means is that we believe in a God who makes righteous the ungodly. That's the God we believe in. That's what is written here. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, believeth on God that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. God justifies, that's God, that's the God we believe in. The God who justifies the ungodly. Isaiah 43, 25. Message. Let's read Isaiah 43, 25. Message. Isaiah is Romans, I tell you. But I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins. I take care of it. That's the God we are talking about. That's the God we are talking about. He's the one who specializes in taking care of your sins. He specializes in removing the sins of the ungodly and making the ungodly righteous. That's a specialty. So grace is Jesus Christ and his work. That's grace. That's grace. Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, for I determined to know nothing amongst you. I determined to know nothing among you. Save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's describing grace. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's his work. Jesus and his crucifixion is his work. Jesus and his work is equal to grace. You want to know what grace is? Jesus, the person, and his work, crucifixion, is grace. And he says we should live by grace through faith. We should live by grace through faith. So I want to show you some of the... So I said grace is what? Jesus and his work, isn't it? You can put a dash by it. It is God's perfect work in Christ. Grace is God's perfect work in Christ for humanity. God's perfect work in Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve or merit. God's perfect work in Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve or merit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Which they don't deserve or merit. God's perfect work in Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve or merit. Can I preach? Keep preaching. You need to give your life to Christ. Hallelujah. So I want to give you several definitions of grace. What I've told you is grace, the grace of God. Okay? Grace is what? Jesus and his work. I.e. God's perfect work in Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve or merit. That's the grace of God. Are you seeing it? Okay, so you can write this down. One, number one, under definitions of grace. Grace is God's work of righteousness for humanity. Grace is God's work of righteousness for humanity. Grace is God's work of righteousness for humanity, which they don't deserve. Humanity did not deserve it, but God did it anyway. Number two, grace is God's work of redemption for humanity, which they don't deserve. So the last portion will always be the same. For humanity, which they don't deserve. Okay?
Yeah.
The first one is grace is God's work of righteousness for humanity, which they don't deserve. Okay, let's put Christ there because God didn't work outside of Christ. So let's add Christ. Grace is God's work of righteousness through Christ for humanity. Have you seen it? Are you in the church? Grace is what? Of righteousness through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. Number two, grace is God's work of redemption through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. Grace is God's work of redemption through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. Are you seeing it? Number three, grace is God's work of forgiveness through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. Grace is God's work of forgiveness through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. I don't know if you like what I'm telling you. I'm showing you a simple way to define grace. All these things, God did all these things because of how much He likes us. Hallelujah. I feel the fun when I'm here. So maybe I should preach from here. The heat is real. It's a sign for me that I have to put ACs here. Yeah. It's better. You are cold. Yeah. Thank you. Are you there?
Yes.
Number four, right?
Yes.
Number three was what? Okay. Which they don't deserve. Number five. Number four. Grace is God's work of love and mercy. Grace is God's work of love and mercy for humanity, through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. Okay? Grace is God's work of what? Love and mercy. Number five, grace is God's work of dealing or paying for and removing our sins. Grace is God's work of paying for and removing our sins through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. I want to give them to you. I'm supposed to go through all this, but I can't. The time will not work. So I'm gonna do some. I'm gonna do about six of them. Okay? Do you like that? I'm gonna do about six of them, but I have about 12 here. I want to give it all to you so that you can research it for yourself later. It will help you. Number six now, right? What's number five? Grace is God's work of paying for and removing our sins through Christ. Hallelujah. Which you don't deserve. Number six. Grace is God's work of healing and health for humanity through Christ, which you don't deserve. Okay? Grace is God's work of what? Healing and health. Don't sleep. Number seven, grace is God's work of peace. Through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. This is a whole something. Yes, these are all messages one by one, if you are interested. Number eight, grace is God's work of holiness. Grace is God's work of holiness through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. Number nine, grace is God's work of victory over Satan through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. Grace is God's work of victory over Satan. Number 10, grace is God's work of protection and preservation for humanity through Christ, which they don't deserve. Number 11, Grace is God's work of dealing with guilt and condemnation through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. Am I going too fast? I'm going too fast. Okay. Where did you get lost? Number what? Number 10. Number 8. Number 8 is grace is God's work of holiness, right? Grace is God's work of holiness through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. Number 9 is grace is God's work of victory over Satan through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. Okay? If I were, I'll just write victory over Satan. Guilt. That's all. I mean, that's how you keep notes. I mean, I also will not finish the class. By the time I'm finishing your notes, the lecture is already gone. Number 9. Number 10, right? Grace is God's work of protection and preservation. Grace is God's work of protection and preservation. Number 11. Grace is God's work of dealing with guilt and condemnation through Christ for humanity. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Number 12. Grace is God's work of dealing with prosperity. Grace is God's work of dealing with prosperity through Christ for humanity, which they don't deserve. Or if you like poverty, dealing with poverty. Rather, poverty. Let's do it. Dealing with poverty. Okay? Dealing with poverty. So you can preach this throughout the year. One for each man. But let me pick a few of them. Can I pick a few of them? I tell me about he wants to pick a few of them. Can I pick a few of them? So let me pick. Grace is God's work of paying for and removing our sins through Jesus' cross. Okay? Paying for our sins. All these things are things we don't merit. We don't deserve. All of us have missed the way. Hey. There's none righteous. No, not one. Our righteousness is filthy rags. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every man has gone to his own way. None of us are correct. Man is not correct. Man has a problem. There's none righteous. No, not one. So human beings do not deserve all the things that God did for them. But God chose to do it anyway. God chose to do it anyway. And that is the grace of God. The grace of God is God choosing to like you even though you don't even like him. Grace is God deciding to heal you even when you don't think that he should heal you. Yeah. The leper asked Jesus, if you will, you can heal me. Jesus said, I will. And he touched him. This guy had not been touched by his family members for so many years. God came and touched him and healed him. He did not deserve it. I'm sure he had done something wrong. That's why he was a leper. But Jesus did not ask him, unlike some prophets who ask you, what did you do? What did you do? And they'll tell you what you did. You did this and you did that and you did that. That's why this has happened to you. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus healed the guy. He touched him and healed him. That is the grace of God. The grace of God does not ask you questions. The grace of God just brings you God's love, God's goodness, God's blessings, just like that. Yeah. A woman was caught in adultery. In the very act, it takes two to tango, but they brought only her. They pulled her from under the man and brought him to Jesus. Yes. I don't know where she was, but I feel she was under. They pulled her. Listen, when she came to Jesus, when they brought her to Jesus, the people said, the law of Moses says you should stone her. Jesus did not break the law of Moses, but he saved her. He didn't break the law. He asked the people, the one who is without sin should be the first person to throw the stone. So if you are not without sin, if you have not broken the law like her, then cast the stone. And they all left. That's what grace does. And grace said, neither, where are those thine accusers? Where are those who are accusing you? Is there no one left to condemn you? Is there no one left to condemn you? Jesus said, neither condemn I you. Go and sin no more. That's grace. Grace will give you the gift of no condemnation and empower you to go and sin no more. That's what grace does. It empowers you to go and sin no more. But the church will tell you,
that go and sin no more, then we'll check and see if we shouldn't condemn you. Yeah. This is your last chance. If you do it again, you will see. Do you like my message? Or you like my message? So let's see some of the things that grace has done. Who is grace? Jesus Christ. So these are things that Jesus has done. What has Jesus? Jesus has paid for and removed our sins. You better believe it. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus paid fully. John chapter 1 verse 29. John 1:29. The next day, John said Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." So Jesus is the Lamb of God designed by God to take away. Listen, to take what?
Away.
To take what?
Away.
To take what?
Away.
No, let's be honest. It's either it is true or it is not true. It's either he took away or he left some. He took some and left some. What is he? Jesus Christ is the what? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Away.
Away.
We have a lot of Christians who don't believe that their sins have been taken care of. It's either he took it away or he didn't take it away. You can be a Christian who believes that your sins are still there because of the acts, the actions. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. When Jesus hung on the cross in John chapter 12, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said something. Look at John 12, 31 and 32. Oh, I like this. Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Then he says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth," he's talking about his crucifixion. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all," not all men. You see, men is in brackets.
Yeah.
Have you seen that all is men is in brackets? That means that it was not part of the original translation. The translators put it there to make sense because they thought he was talking about drawing all men. Actually, he was not talking about drawing all men. He was talking about drawing all judgment of sin. 31, put 31 and 32 together so that you can understand it. "Now the judgment of this world. What has the world done? The world has sinned. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death." The judgment of sin, the punishment of sin is death. So all of humanity had to die. So Jesus came. The judgment for sin is death. And not just physical death, eternal death. So Jesus came to come and take that punishment of death on himself. So he was describing what was going to happen. Look at verse 33. Look at verse 33. Verse 33. John 12. This said he signifying what death he should die. So he was describing what kind of death he should have and what his death should accomplish. "And I, if I be lifted up on high, I shall draw all what?
Yeah.
All the judgment of man. I shall draw all the judgment of man upon myself." Jesus hung on the cross and took all the punishment for sin for you and I. That's what he did. That is what he did. That is what he did. That's the grace of God. That's the work of Jesus Christ. It's either you believe in it or you don't believe in it. He's taking away your sin. Yeah, permanently, once and for all. What will take you to hell, he has paid for it. I don't know about you, but I choose to believe it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I'm coming, brother. I will preach all of it. Don't worry. Are you in the church? I've gone home. Can you read this for me? One to go. "Bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." What did he hang on the cross for? The word tree is the cross. "Who his own self bore our sins. That is what he hung on the cross for. He hung on the cross to bear our sins. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross. This cross is very important. It must be everywhere in our churches. This cross must be everywhere. This cross is significant. It had to be a cross. It had to be a tree. It had to be a tree because curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree. If he had not hung on the tree, the curse would not have been removed. Because he had to remove the curse, he hung on a cross in order to remove the curse so that you can be blessed.
hang a cross around your neck. Put a cross on your heart. Put a cross on your cross. It's the sign of our of the work, the greatest work of him of all generations. Oh yes. Oh yes. Yeah. Yes. He took it. He took the sin. Romans chapter 4 verse 25. Jesus was delivered on account of our offenses. Jesus died on account of our sins. It is our sins that killed him. It is our sin that killed him. Our sins is the one that killed him. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Let's read it. Isaiah 53. Look at this. It says, surely Jesus has borne our griefs. Let's read a lighter version. We don't understand. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were punishment from God. A punishment for his own sins. But remember, he's the one who did no sin. Jesus did no sin. Keep your finger here. Don't sleep. Keep your finger here. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. 1 Peter 2, 22. Peter, who is a man of works, says that Jesus did no sin. Neither was God found in his mouth. Jesus did no sin. Paul, who is the man of knowledge, says he knew no sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He says, Jesus, he was made sin who knew no sin. Have you seen it? For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus was made sin for us who knew no sin. He was made sin for us. This is our sin, not his sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. And in him was no sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away what? Jesus was manifested to take away what? I don't know why you still believe that your sins are still there. He came to take away. He was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. The one who did no sin, who knew no sin, and in him was no sin. The one who said himself, Jesus said himself, the prince of this world cometh. And he has nothing in me. Which one of you convinces me of sin? Which one of you can say that I've sinned? He was pure. No problem. I like the description that Hebrews chapter 7. Look at Hebrews 7 verse 22, I believe. Oh, so nice. I don't know if I'm helping you. Ask your neighbor, are you being helped? 26. Hebrews 7, 26. Look at Hebrews 7, 26. Oh, this is a nice description about Jesus. For such an high priest became us, who is holy. Jesus is holy. He is harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This is the one, the darling of heaven. No sin. The one who was tempted in all points, yet without sin, was made sin because of you and because of me. That's grace. He was made sin. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. He has made him, God made Jesus to be sin for us. He is our sin sacrifice. He's our sin offering. As he hung on the cross, God was judging him for what we needed to be judged for. He paid for our debts. He paid. Look at the pornography I've watched your life. For the pornography and the fornication and the masturbation and the adultery and the stealing and all the things, or what are the concern, the gossip is death. Jesus came to come and pay for all those things. You should be loving him and thanking him rather than thinking that, oh, I don't know what I'm going to. You should be loving him. You should be falling in love with him. The one who took away your sins. You don't know. That's why you don't like him. If you knew, you would like him. If you knew, you would cry on your bed and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sacrificing yourself for me. Yes. It is our sin that crucified him. Isaiah chapter 53. Go back to that place. Yeah. Message. Let's read message of this verse. Pastor says you read. It's wild. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried. It is our disfigurement, all the things wrong with us. Have you seen it? All the things that was wrong with us. We thought he brought it up on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it wasn't his failures, it was us. Next verse. All the things that were wrong with us. Next verse. But it was our sins that did that to him. It is our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. He took our punishment. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. So sin cannot block you from receiving healing from God anymore. Sometimes you have something's wrong with your body, and you're wondering, will God heal me? I've not been good. You may have done something that brought HIV.
Okay. Yes.
You slept with someone who was not your wife and you got HIV. But God is rich in mercy.
Rich.
But God is rich in mercy.
Rich.
For his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, has he made us alive? Even when we're dead. When we're dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. It is love, his great love. Even when we're dead in sins, he has made us alive, quickened us together, made us alive, raised us up together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. This is what his grace accomplished. His grace paid for sin. Pay so that you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay. You don't have to pay. You don't have to take that box of penance. God is not requiring penance from you, punishing yourself and making yourself feel bad, feel guilty, hurting yourself in order to make payments for your sin. No, he's not demanding penance. He's demanding love from you. That's all. He's demanding love from you. Your love for him, acknowledging what he has done for you, accepting what he has done for you, is what takes you and brings you into health and blessings.
This is the gospel.
Yes, this is the gospel. Are you in a church?
Yes.
Say he paid. All debts paid and canceled. Yeah, he's paid it. And guess what? He paid it once and for all. He overpaid. He more than paid. Jesus overpaid. Ask your neighbor, do you understand what he's saying? Do you understand what he's saying? Ask your neighbor, are you sleeping?
Are you sleeping?
Or you understand what he's saying? I pray that God opens your eyes to see what I'm talking about. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge concerning Jesus Christ and what he has done. Yeah. This will cure, it will cure a lot of things in your life. Yeah. A lot of people think that because of their sin, they can't prosper. God can't hear them. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, were you born? Were you born when he was? Are you weren't born? Are you sure? That means that all your sins were in the future. And Jesus died for your sin. Oh? That means that all your sins were in the future when he died. Meaning that he took care of your sins, past, present, future. Once and for all. Let me show it to you. Hebrews. Yanko Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. That's why that musician sang a song. He says, I will worship him forever.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless you.